Good morning. It is great to have you with us on these significant Sundays. I have said this before. I was in a gathering of leaders, which is about was about 18 months ago now. And you think back to where the world was 18 months ago, we were talking about what to prioritise and what to focus on as we emerged from lockdowns as churches and as we started to be able to meet together properly on Sundays. And someone said how he felt that there was a need to focus on the cake and not the icing. He's saying how it's easy to get distracted in church life by lovely icing. So you know, making the icing look great on the cake so that it looks really good and appealing and might draw people in, but you're kind of just so obsessed with the icing you've forgotten to work on the cake, and at its core, it's not a great cake and it doesn't taste great. Someone then said, yeah, I guess you could ice a log and make a log look really good, but not taste great at all. If that is worth mentioning, a log would not taste great. At Grace Church, we don't want to be a church that might look great, looks like it's a really good church, but actually tastes rough at its core. Now, ideally, we want good icing, right? There's nothing wrong with good icing. And we want good icing and good cake, and that's what we're going to be going for. But our priority is to make sure that the cake is good. Today, we are in the middle of speaking into our new vision for us as a church. And all of our vision stuff, this is all in line with that metaphor, really. We want to grow a church that prioritizes the main things a church should prioritize and is healthy. Now, I suppose you, if you're going to stretch the metaphor too far, you could argue that a really good cake is really quite unhealthy. But we won't get too carried away with the metaphor. Hopefully you get the point. This vision that we're speaking into and we're talking about is for Grace Church as one church and across our sites, for all of our sites. It's a vision to grow a healthy church that enjoys the grace of God and declares and demonstrates that grace to the communities we live in. It is, I mean, I'd say it every week, it's worth catching up from last week, but more than ever, it is, if you are part of Grace Church, it is well worth catching up from last week. Grab the podcast, the download. I outlined what this means and kind of introduced the whole thing. It talks about how we feel that we are entering part two in the life of Grace Church. It's more than just a new chapter, it's a new part. It's a significant time for us. And this vision, this is what we are going to be going for into part two and what we feel God is calling us to. Today I'm going to focus on what we mean when we say that we have a vision to grow a healthy church that enjoys the grace of God. Now really this is kind of talking about two different things, and so I'll cover them in turn today. What do we mean when we say we've got a vision to grow a healthy church? And what do we mean by a church that enjoys the grace of God? I'll go through that. I've got four things on what I mean by healthy church, and then a few on that enjoys the grace of God and how those things will both direct us. And just to emphasize again, this is our vision. So this is what we are going for and what we aspire to. It's not necessarily describing us. I'll talk about what a healthy church is, what I mean by that. And hopefully we're not a million miles away, but I'm not talking about what we are, but what we're going for. And then afterwards we'll come to our gift day as we give in to what God is doing among us. It's a lot to get through, so I'll move quite quickly. And I'm going to read from 1 Thessalonians and the first chapter, which is Paul, Silas and Timothy are writing to the church of the Thessalonians and painting a really great picture of a church that is both those things. This is a church that is healthy. It's not got obsessed with the icing, but is top quality cake and has got their priorities right. And also, clearly, they are really enjoying God's grace to them. I'll read chapter 1, just 10 verses of 1 Thessalonians. It says, Paul, Silas and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, and you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. It's an amazing passage. What do we mean when we say that we want to grow a healthy church? I kind of touched on it, introduced it last week, but I'll just paint a bit more of a picture with a list of what a healthy church looks like according to the Bible. This is not an exhaustive list. I'm not going to cover everything. That would take a long time, but just got a few things that will give an idea. And for each one, I'll highlight a danger if we're not doing that. What's the risk? What's the danger? And the first one is something that I have gone on about quite a bit. This kind of sums up what we mean by a healthy church. A healthy church keeps, maybe you got it by now, a healthy church keeps the main things. Healthy church focuses on the cake and not the icing. The Thessalonians, they are this. And the apostles, Paul, Silas and Timothy, writing to them, they are so grateful for them as a church because they are loving Jesus. They're loving others. They're empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's a beautiful passage. Another time this happens in the Bible is a verse I've referenced a few times. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus and he's saying how grateful to God he is for them. And what he is grateful for is because they are keeping the main things. He says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Faith in Jesus and love for all God's people. That's what we're about. We are about at Grace Church staying faithful to what we have been called to. Grace Church, saying last week, we're 16 years old now. When we think of Grace Church in another 16 years' time, yeah, we are praying for baptisms to have happened, for people to have come to know God, for us to have grown, but we are certainly also praying that we are shaped by being full of faith and love, however big we are, that we are marked by faithfulness to what God has called us to. If we don't keep the main things, what's the danger? What's the risk? Well, the danger is a lack of focus, which is why we have vision, why we're talking about it. And a lack of focus will probably then lead to focusing on the wrong things. There's been a prophetic word over us that we are like Clapham Junction as a church. And Clapham Junction, not a sexy train station, but a good train station. If the powers that be at Clapham Junction said, hey, let's build a skate park as part of the train station, let's open 5 waffle houses at the train station, people aren't going to complain. It's no bad thing. People will be enjoying it. But then what if the trains start getting late or later and start crashing? They start going to the wrong place. Then Clapham Junction have failed to keep the main things of a train station the main things. Healthy churches keep the main things, that is what we're going for. And a healthy church is also uncompromising in its submission to the Word of God, to the Bible. We want to make sure that we are a church where everything is under God's Word. Nothing is above it. Everything is under it. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Scripture is above tradition. So, you know, well, it's just what's always been done. It's what we've always done. If it's against scripture, then that's scripture's above that. It's above our experiences. Well, I just feel like this, or this is my experience. What does the Bible say? Let's submit it to that. Scripture is even above reason. So you might think, I just don't understand this. This doesn't make sense. It's what the Bible says, so that's what we're going with. Everything we do, we want to be guided by and submissive to God's word to us. What is popular, what is successful, they're not irrelevant to us at all, but they're not the main drivers in a healthy church. We are committed to submitting to what this book says about who God is, about who we are, about what church should be like, about what it says about justice and sexuality and righteousness and sin and heaven and hell. Sometimes doing that is hard in our secular world that we live in. And I think we can prophesy with confidence it's only going to get harder in the years ahead. I don't know if you've got to the tough bits in this book yet, but they are in them. They are in there. We will submit to them. We will submit to what this book says. What's the danger if we're not doing that? Well, the danger is that we are led by something other than God, probably led by the world, and we're submitting to that. The danger is that we'll have a greater fear of man than we have of God, and we'll cease to be faithful. A healthy church is a committed family. All of these are sermons in their own right, but just kind of briefly making the point on them. The end of verse 5 in our passage is simple and beautiful. He says, "You know how we lived among you for your sake." So the apostles, they lived among the people of this church. They did life together with them. So this wasn't just a weekly gathering where they just kind of got together. It certainly was that, though. They were living alongside one another. There's commitment to one another through it all. And it was done for your sake. We lived among you for your sake. Not for their own sake, but for the sake of others. I've been part of Grace Church for 15 years. I have loved living among people through the years at Grace Church. I thought I'd just come to uni and go to this church while I was at uni, dip in and then dip out again. But I've got to live among the people. Now we're a family. Now you are my people and I'm one of you and you're one of me. I don't know if that makes sense, but you get it. And there is unity in a committed family. Sometimes churches can grow and things look great, but actually disunity is beginning to fester behind the scenes. And because it's growing, the disunity is ignored just in case it disrupts the growth. We don't want to disrupt the growth. Cake looks amazing. This cake looks great, but you cut into it and at its core, it's not nice at all. Healthy church does not ignore disunity, but works hard to be united. We will work hard to have unity in each site and across our sites, across Grace Church. The danger of not being a committed family probably makes the point the clearest. The danger, if a church isn't a committed family, is that it becomes like a business, where we're not brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers living among one another, but we're colleagues and employers and employees. Now, we've got a vision to be a committed family, not a profitable business. The last one on what do we mean by healthy church. A healthy church is dynamic. I mean, it's full of faith. It's not static. It's mobile. It's empowered and it's on mission. This word has actually been part of dynamic been part of our vision up to this point. And it's not to say we don't want to be that anymore, but it's part of what a healthy church is, to be dynamic. When the apostles spoke to the Thessalonians, it wasn't just with words, but it was with power. Verse 5 says, our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. That sounds good. That's how I want the gospel to go out from us. Now, we want to get the balance right in this. It is true that we want to keep things, the church, we want to keep things rhythmic and simple and consistent in that way. But at the same time as that, change is here to stay. We want to stay on the front foot, seeking God and being willing to adapt, willing to react to what he is saying and thinking creatively about how we can reach more people with the gospel. The danger if we're not dynamic is that we become dead in our faith and we become a dead church, metaphorically and therefore eventually, literally. We want life here. We want new life. We want to be pioneering and always taking ground for the kingdom, because that's what healthy churches do. I told you it'd be speedy. Hope you're doing all right as we go through it. We've got a vision to be a healthy church. That's a bit of a summary on what we mean, not an exhaustive one. We've got to be a vision to be a healthy church that enjoys the grace of God. So that means before we declare it in our words or demonstrate it in our deeds, what we're doing, we first want to enjoy God's grace to us. The Bible talks of the grace of God as undeserved favour. Such a good phrase. God's blessings to us, which are totally and utterly undeserved, yet given abundantly. And the Bible also talks of grace as a power for godly living, which again is a gift from God. But what do we mean by a church that enjoys the grace of God? What is enjoying God's grace? I've got three things on why that's in our vision, why we care about that, and then very briefly on what that looks like. Enjoying the grace of God, we want to be a church that enjoys the grace of God because enjoying God's grace is our purpose as humans. That's a big statement. Enjoying the grace of God is our purpose. Now, the Western secular world says, well, the purpose of humanity is to express yourself. Enjoy yourself, yeah, but however you want, express yourself, make everything else conform to that. People can think that Christianity says the purpose of humanity is to do what God says, work hard and submit to him. That's not right. It's not what Christianity says, and what the world says is not the purpose of humanity. True Christianity says that the purpose of humanity is to enjoy God and his grace. The Westminster Catechism, summing up Christianity, starts with the question, what is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to enjoy God and glorify him forever. Augustine says, our hearts are restless until they find rest in him, because that's our purpose, to find rest in him. Look at verse 3 in the passage. It's a wonderful description of a church. And they're saying to them, we remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So they're working hard, but their work is produced by, it is made by faith. Their faith makes their work. They're labouring, their labour is prompted by love. Because of love, they are labouring. Faith and love come first. They're not working hard for God because they have to, but because they have enjoyed his grace and they just really want to. You can contrast that with Revelation 2. And this is the risen Jesus is speaking to another church. And he says, I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. That's not bad. They're still working hard. They're going for it. It's just a difference in the tone. One is rooted in love and joyful service and the other pretty cold. It sounds like hard work. And it goes on in verse 4. to show the real difference, I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. But they're not doing it out of love. They're doing it out of duty. And the kicker is this, that this church that this is to is the church in Ephesus. That Paul, about 20 years before, when he wrote to the Ephesians, said, I praise God for your faith and your love. And now Jesus is saying to them, you've forgotten your love. This is about 20 years later. They have failed to keep the main things the main things. Why? What have they failed in? Well, they're still working hard. They're still going for it. But they've failed because they've forgotten to enjoy God's grace and to be rooted in love. God doesn't want our deeds if he doesn't have our love first. Enjoying the grace of God is our purpose, and it is a joy. It might be obvious, the enjoyment of something should be a joy. But I just want to be clear that we should be happy about being Christians in the church because of what God has done and because of who he is. I hope we stay a church that looks happy and not grumpy, that look like we're enjoying it. This is not to say that things are easy or always lovely, but it's to say we will know joy in God. Verse 6 says, you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Tough times? Yes. Joy from God and in God? Yes. We got a lot to be grateful for. We have rejected God, every one of us. We've run away from him, turned our backs on him, sinned against him, done everything he's told us not to do. We come back to him. He doesn't run away from us like we deserve. No, he runs to us. Even when we're not coming back to him, he runs to us and he showers on us grace upon grace. He gives his son to die for us. We have so much to be thankful for and joyful in. Church should be an enjoyable place to be, and it shouldn't be overly burdensome, shouldn't be burnout inducing. It's not that it's just fun for the sake of it, you know, in whatever we do to have fun. We're enjoying God's grace to us. And enjoying the grace of God glorifies God. It's not selfish to have this as our vision, that to be a church that enjoys the grace of God. This is what the Bible says, and this is what brings God the most glory and honor. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 says, each of you should give, it's talking about money, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Why? For God loves a cheerful giver. Now, there's some helpful stuff on giving there, but the reason is important. Because God wants us to give to him cheerfully. And it's true of giving, it's true of all of life, all of our service. He wants us to serve him because we love him and because we've enjoyed his grace. This is what I hold against you. You've forgotten your love. You've forgotten to enjoy it. You might buy a McDonald's for your housemate or something for dinner one night, one evening, but just to kind of give, you know, buy McDonald's for yourself and for them. And the extent to which that honours them, honours your housemate, is dependent on your motivation in it. So you could do it. You could just turn up and you've got McDonald's. You put it on the table. You say, oh, I've got McDonald's for tonight. And they say, oh, why'd you do that tonight? Yeah, you know, you could say, oh, it's my turn to cook tonight and couldn't bother to cook. And thought I'd just get something out, and McDonald's the cheapest. I don't know, probably a good housemate does this kind of thing every so often. So this is my way of just being a good housemate with minimal cost to me. Oh, thanks for that. Thank you. Go and eat in your own room or whatever. Or bring the McDonald's. Oh, thanks for that. Why have you done that? As long as this is true. I just, you know, earlier on, I was just thinking, I'm so grateful to have you as a housemate. You're such a blessing to me. I just want you to know how much I appreciate you. I know you like McDonald's, so I thought I'll get McDonald's tonight just as a little treat to show you that I appreciate you. Now, which one honours your housemate more? Which one shows them that you care more? Hopefully, the point is clear. Glad enjoyment of God and cheerful service honours him way more than just doing it out of duty because we feel like we should. We are coming in a few moments to give financially to God. It's gift day today. Give what your heart decides out of what you have, not under compulsion or guilt. Just to say, if you're a student this morning and just new in the air, we're not doing this now because you're here. This is just where we are as a church. We plan to do it. But for all of us, it is better to give than to receive. We've got to believe that. But do it because you're excited by what God is doing. You're grateful for what he's already done in your life. We're looking for around £75,000 to come in through these gift days in order to do, honestly, what we believe God has called us to. It's a huge amount. We want to go for this vision wholeheartedly, though, even at great cost and sacrifice, because we believe in what God is doing. We want to be able to do more for the poor. That's both among us, first among us, and also in our communities as we come into this tough winter. We want to keep doing Alpha. Alpha started this week. It's great. We want to keep getting the message out there, spreading the good news. We want to be discipling one another. We don't want to be held back by not having enough money. I understand it's a tough time for all of us. As a church, our electricity bill for the year, we found out this week, has gone from $4,800 a year to a minimum in the coming year of $17,700. Now, this is just something we haven't budgeted for. I don't want this to mean that we can do less as a church. It's not a guilt trip to tell you that, just to say the situation. That's where we're at. I hope you're excited by what God is doing. We want to be able to keep doing what we are doing and keep being disciples. We want to see many more people come to know the love of God. Just ask God to stir your faith and to stir your joy in him and his grace to you as you consider your part in this. Come and give cheerfully. It's a celebration moment as we do this in a few minutes. Giving cheerfully, though, doesn't necessarily make it easy. It certainly doesn't make it safe. Yeah, buying a McDonald's might, for your housemate, might mean that you're missing out on something in the future and you kind of, oh, it's a bit of a tough, but I really want to do it. Giving cheerfully just means that you want to do it. It means we're excited for what God is doing, so that we're even willing to give until we feel a little bit physically sick about it. All of that, that's why we have a vision to be a church that enjoys the grace of God. That's what we're going for here at Grace Church. I hope you're up for it. We've got a vision to be a church that first and foremost enjoys the grace of God, because that's our purpose, because it's a joy and a privilege, and because that's what brings most glory to God. So that's why enjoying his grace is in our vision. I'll just finish with a little bit on what that means for us as a church. What does it look like? Well, enjoying a church that enjoys the grace of God includes being discipled. Jesus says in John chapter 15, 10 to 11, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Enjoying God's love makes us obedient. And as we enjoy God's love, we are increasingly obedient. That's what we mean, part of this big part of enjoying God's love. You want to know more? You want to enjoy more of God's grace to you? Then do what he tells you. Do what Jesus says. Be obedient to him. Enjoying God's grace is not abusing his grace. The grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness. It grows us in obedience. And the result, we get the complete joy of Christ as a result of being obedient and remaining in his love. Enjoying the grace of God includes discipling others. That's the whole emphasis in this passage. The apostles, they enjoyed living among them for the sake of others. We want to be a church where we serve and love and challenge and disciple one another out of joy and privilege. As an elder, I am called to be a shepherd of God's flock, not because I must, but because I am willing, as God wants me to be. It's 1 Peter 5, verse 2. But this is not just me discipling you, or kind of elders and leaders discipling you. Now, when we are a church that enjoys the grace of God, we will all be discipling one another as we live among one another. And enjoying the grace of God includes making disciples. Verse 8 is amazing. This is just a great way to describe them. Paul says, the Lord's message, that's the gospel, his grace, rang out from you. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. What a testimony. Rang out, that where it says rang out. It's an unusual verb used there. It's the same word where we get the word echo. It's like their faith was reverberating around the hills and being told and made known all over the place because it was so significant, emanating from them. And as a result, people are becoming disciples. They're becoming Christians because their faith is so well known and their enjoyment of God is so evident. As we enjoy the grace of God and witness to his grace, it's going to reverberate around Chichester and Bognor and Havant, and others will come to know it if we're enjoying his grace. I've got through a lot in that half an hour or so. I hope it helps to show you where we are going as a church. We've got a vision together to grow a healthy church, and all that that means, to grow a healthy church that never ceases to enjoy the grace of God to us. And as a result, and as part of enjoying that grace, we are declaring and demonstrating that grace to the communities we live in. Well, more on that next week, what that looks like to declare and demonstrate that grace to the communities we live in. I'll hand over to a leader in the room to take you through this joyful moment of celebratory giving. I just encourage you, come with us. Let's go together. Let's enjoy God's grace together as a people. And I encourage you, come and taste and see for yourself. Taste and see of his goodness and his grace to us.